Hi, I'm Glenn Elliott, lead pastor of Pantano Christian Church. Welcome to our podcast. This message is part of a series called Amped. God wants to make a huge difference in us and then use us to make a huge difference in our world for Him. But He never expected us to change ourselves or do His work on our own with our own meager resources and talents. We, the church, God's people, are the hope of this world. Not the government, not business, not education. These are all vital. But God's people, transformed and empowered by God Himself, is His plan to transform society. We have a power available that's greater than all our human strength, wisdom, and abilities combined. God has given us the Holy Spirit to guide us, create a godly character in us, and give us supernatural abilities. Get ready to get plugged into the spiritual source of power that can leave us breathless. Are you ready to be amped by the Holy Spirit? Amen. Wow. Great worship. You know, power is something that we have to respect. You know, the power company wants you to know that should a power line fall down, you're to stay as far away from it as you can. You know, if a monsoon comes or an accident knocks a power line down, stay away. And they even on their ads use a rattlesnake to illustrate how dangerous a downed power line is, that you don't want to get anywhere near because just like a rattlesnake, it'll bite you and its bite is deadly. I discovered that firsthand once. I was working as an electrician one summer trying to earn some money for college. And what happened was I went into a house. We were doing final fixture installs. So I turned the power off like any good electrician does. And it was installing a ceiling fan in a cathedral ceiling. So I had this really tall ladder and I had my screwdriver and my pliers and I was up there and I was installing it. And my screwdriver touches the positive and negative wire and zap! I mean, the sparks flew. It partially melted my screwdriver. I did everything I could just to keep from falling off the ladder. The plumber had come in and turned the power on because he needed the power for some power tools. I experienced firsthand the power of electricity. And we've seen it lately, the power that's in nature. The earthquake and then the following tsunami that hit Japan and the flooding that's happening in the Midwest and then most recently the tornadoes that have just devastated the South and the East and now the Midwest. Incredible power. So whether it's a power line or whether it's an act of nature, you know, we want to avoid that kind of power because it's so dangerous. But there is a power that we seek. It's a power that very few find. It's elusive. It's a power that you can't buy, but it's a power that we need. And that power is found in the Easter message. It's the power of the resurrection. It's the power that can change our lives right here and now. And it's a power that can take our bodies when they die and give us life that will never end. It's an incredible power. It's a power that's stronger than the power of death itself. And death is a mighty power. Jesus faced death. He experienced real death. When they nailed him to the cross, he expired while he was nailed there. He quit breathing. His heart stopped beating. Rigor mortis began to set into his body. Decay began. Death is powerful and feels so final. Death is such a powerful story that it shows up in all of our stories. You know, the majority of books, the majority of stories, the majority of drama, movies are about the issue of death. Either how to avoid death, how to avoid dying, overcoming the danger of death, how to run from death, how to escape it in some way. It's a powerful, powerful thing. I've been with families and with a person who's been told that they have terminal illness. Sometimes the doctor says they'll have weeks or months Of course, doctors never really know, but the person who's told that they have this terminal illness, they know it's a matter of time. And they struggle with that, appropriately so. How much time do I have? How will death come upon me? And really, in many ways, death is a mystery because of its power. We have proverbs in our culture about death. We recently had to file our income taxes, and you know the famous proverb, there are two things that are certain in life, death and taxes. The only thing that doesn't get worse every year is death. Or maybe you've heard the proverb, death is the great equalizer. You see, the most powerful, the most wealthy, the poorest, the powerless, when death comes, they're on the same footing. It's the great equalizer. Or maybe you've heard the proverb, everyone dies, but not everyone lives. Every one of us will die. The power of death will come upon us. But the question is, we don't have to remain dead. Because there is a power, the power of the resurrection, that can bring life out of death. There is a power that's greater than death. It's the power of God found in the resurrection. And that power is here today. It's available to every single person. We can plug into that power. It wasn't just something that happened one time in the life of Jesus, but the power of the resurrection is here and available today. The strongest power there is. There's two verses in the Bible that describe this so well. It's found in a book called Philippians. I want you to turn there, Philippians chapter 3. The Apostle Paul writes this letter. He's actually in jail as he writes this letter. He writes it to a church that's in Philippi, which is modern-day Greece. In jail, he's very reflective of the issues and the power of death. And I want you to see what he says in chapter 3. We're going to start at verse 10. Philippians 3, verse 10. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. And so, somehow, that mystery, to attain to the resurrection from the dead. Paul's in jail. He knows that death is awaiting him. He doesn't know for sure if he'll be released or not. He doesn't know for sure if he will die, when he will die. He doesn't know for sure how he will die. And when you think about the questions he has, what does he want to know? He doesn't want to know about the when or the how. He says, I want to know Christ. I want to know the power of the resurrection. And so because of that, because Paul knows Christ, he wants to increase in that. Because he understands the power of the resurrection, he doesn't have any fear while he waits in jail. The issue of death is not the issue for him. It's the issue of life because of the power of the resurrection. Now what Paul does here is he lays out for us an incredible spiritual path in just those two verses that we looked at. And I want us to look really carefully at them and try to absorb them, because the first thing he says is, I want to know Christ. If you're willing, I want you to repeat that phrase with me. I want to know Christ. Again, I want to know Christ. I want to know Christ. I want to know Jesus. And that's not intellectual knowledge. That's not just information about Jesus. I want to know him. I want to experience him. I want to really get who he is. I want to know how he thinks. I want to understand his values. I want to know how he lives life. And why is that important? Because Jesus is God who came to us, God in the form of flesh. And so when we get to know Jesus, I mean, we get to experience him. We get the very best picture of who God is. I want to be godly. I want to live. I want my character to be like that of God. And the only way, the very best way I'm going to do that is get to know Jesus and understand who he is. The best picture of God. And as I get that picture, and as I'm able to live like Jesus, as he becomes not just my model, but my example, then I experience how to live life at its best. Life at its best. And that's why God came to us in Jesus, that we could know God and know life the way he intended it to be lived. That's why Paul says, I want to know Christ. Maybe you're here and you don't really know Christ. I mean, you have knowledge about him, but don't really know him. I want to challenge you to really look at Jesus. Maybe you decided that he wasn't important in your life. Maybe you decided sometime later you'll really investigate him. I want to challenge you to have the integrity before you reject him, before you ignore him anymore, that you really look at his life. Now, I'm not asking you to look at the church. I'm not asking you to look at Christianity. I'm not asking you to look at religion. Those are way too complicated. It's way more simple than that. We look at Jesus. And the best way to do that is to read the original stories about him. They're found in the Bible. Our New Testament begins with four books called the Gospels. They're Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The stories of Jesus that help us know who he is. We hear Jesus' words from those who are with him. And if you've really not gotten to know Jesus, I want to challenge you to read one of those Gospels. Start anywhere, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. A number of years ago when I really didn't know who Jesus was. I knew about Christmas, I knew a little bit about Easter, but I didn't know Jesus. I had never really experienced him. And I was challenged to read. So I opened the New Testament, and the first of the Gospels is Matthew. So I started reading Matthew. By the time I got to chapter 8, I was overwhelmed with Jesus. By just the 8th chapter, I had already determined, I want to follow him. I want to be like him. He said things that I had never heard before. I understood in him a kind of person that I want to become. And I want to challenge you, like the Apostle Paul, I want to know Christ. I want to know him. And then Paul goes on in this pathway, this incredible spiritual journey. It begins with knowing Jesus. And then we come to the place where we want to know the power of the resurrection. We need the power of the resurrection. You see, in every one of us, some greater, some lesser, but in every one of us, at different times in our life, we all have dead spots. There are aspects of our lives that are dead or at least dying. Maybe it's your passion or your emotion. Maybe inside there's just this emotional deadness. There's really no passion for life, no passion for a cause. There's just this deadness there. Or maybe your will is dead. The will to make a difference, the will to touch other people's lives in a positive way. Maybe that's just dead or dying. Or maybe your courage has died. You know there's some things that you need to do that takes courage to confront some people, to make some changes, but the courage has just died inside. Or maybe your hopes and dreams have died. Or maybe grace has died. Maybe it's just no longer possible for you to give somebody a second or third or 50th chance. The grace has died. We need something outside of ourselves to bring those things back to life. Just trying harder may work for a short time, but it won't bring about the transformation of those kinds of things if they're dead within us. We need the power of the resurrection, the power of God that will awaken those and bring those things to life and give us a new start, a fresh start, and bring that energy that we can't manufacture ourselves. Paul says, I want to know, to experience the power of the resurrection. All of us at some point, maybe right now, are like dead men and women walking. We're in a rut. We're going through the routine. We just sort of do the same thing day after day. And all of a sudden, we come to those moments and go, why? What's this all about? What's this for? We have the opportunity to tap into a power that can give us life and perspective and purpose and direction and meaning. It's life the way God always intended it. But here's the question. How do we get that resurrection power? How does that come about? Here's the irony. We get the resurrection power by dying. It's the great paradox. If we really want to live, a dying has to precede. And I'm not talking so much about physical death, though that was true in Jesus even. He physically died, which brought forth his resurrection, which is the greatest event in all of history and gives us hope. But in this life, we've got to experience a death before we'll really experience the power. That comes in form of giving up control of our life. We want to control everything. We want to manage it. We want to do it on our own power, with our own wisdom. We think we know best. We got to die to that because we don't know best. That takes humility to admit that. We've got to surrender our will to the will of God, trusting that He really knows best. We're willing to die to our self-centeredness and our selfishness. We got to come to this place where we realize, I'm not the center of the universe. This world does not revolve around me. And as long as I stay there, I will experience perpetual unhappiness because the whole world system will work against that. We come to the place where we realize it really is only about Jesus. He has to be the center of my world. And so what we discover is that if we want to get to the place of experiencing the power of the resurrection, we have to be willing to die first. We choose to die before we die, before we physically die. We choose to surrender to the one who will lead us to the very, very best place. And so how do we get resurrection power? We get it as we are willing to die. And as we are willing to surrender, we begin to experience the power of the resurrection. And the power of the resurrection that Paul describes has two aspects to it. One is very literal, and one is a metaphor. Literally, when our physical bodies die, we will be resurrected again to life that will never end. And as a metaphor, the deadness in our life will be resurrected as we begin to experience the power of Christ in our lives. That's why we celebrate Easter. Yes. Every once in a while, somebody asks me, why are you a pastor? Now, what they really are saying, if they were really nice, I mean, if they were really honest, they would say, why in the world would you want to be a pastor? I think it's Forbes magazine every year does a list of the most respected and admired professions in the United States. And pastors, priests, and clergy rank almost at the bottom. We're not at the bottom. There are a few other categories below us. Members of Congress, lawyers, actors, and bankers. And if you're one of those, you feel my pain, you know. not a lot of respect in this time, in this culture, for pastors. And why? What would motivate me to take my family? My kids were young then, as a family, to become missionaries in what was then called the Soviet Union, in the midst of the Cold War. Why would we sell our house and our possessions and everything? Leave a culture and a place of incredible joy and comfort where I could communicate, where I could understand everything. Why would I move my family to the Soviet Union, where what we experienced was a completely different life, where we were lacking everything? There were days when I could not find things like butter, sugar, and toilet paper was a total deficit. Now, I can do without butter and sugar. Toilet paper. Crime was everywhere. Corruption was endemic. The society was in the midst of chaos. It eventually fell, as many of you remember from history. The educational system was absolutely broken, and the healthcare system was even worse. Why would I do that? What motivated me to be a pastor? What motivated me to be a missionary? I was compelled. I was compelled by the power of the resurrection. I experienced the power of the resurrection. Jesus Christ in me transformed me. He turned my world upside down. He totally changed me. I know that's real. And I've seen the power of God transform people. People who were dead and dying, who discovered life in its fullness and were making an incredible difference in this world. And I'm on a mission. I want people to know the power of the resurrection. Know it, experience it, live by it, let it change us and give us a hope that life will never end. That's why we celebrate Easter. We have a power. Paul says, I want to know Christ and I want to know the power of the resurrection, and I'm willing to be like him in dying to the old ways so that I can attain through this mystery the hope and the confidence of the resurrection. That's where God is leading us. We end our messages here at Pantano with a so what. So what means, okay, we've looked at God's word, we've had some teaching, what do we do? And I want to give you some invitations. I want to suggest some things. I want to challenge you with a few things. And the first is obvious. Know Christ and the power of his resurrection. Not intellectually, really experience who Jesus is and the power to change life. It's available to us. And here at Pantano, we have all kinds of tools and resources and opportunities to get to know who Christ is and to experience his life-changing power. But when it's all said and done, it's not for lack of tools and resources and help. It really comes down to us willing to make the decision that says, I want to know Christ. I want to experience the power of his resurrection. Now, the other thing I want to challenge you to do is to not try to experience Christ and the power of his resurrection through a religious activity. Religion is a dead end. Now, let me define religion. I don't care, any religion. Religion is, I try to follow these rules to be a good person. And to make God happy with me. I follow these practices to be a good person and to make God happy with me. And in the end, it's our effort. We're trying to manufacture the change. But it's a dead end because we might see a little improvement, but we won't see the real transformation. That comes from a power that's outside of us. As we invite the power of God in the person of Jesus into us. He changes us from the inside out. And I want to challenge you to experience that power that comes from the inside and changes us all the way through. I don't want us to go through the motions. We're not a church that's just about doing these religious activities just so we've done them. We want to know and experience real power that changes us, that influences this world, so that we see the presence of God truly active all around us. And that's what we're called to. And that's who we are here at Pantano Christian. We're not a church that just comes together to worship and to hear teaching and then we're done. We really believe that God's church is really the church, not just when we're in this building or on this property, but we are really the church when we move out of this property and touch the lives of others. We want to make a real difference in this world, in our own community, in our families, in our neighborhoods, in villages all around the world. We want to make a real difference, relying on the power of God to move us. And so what we're going to do in the series, teaching series that follows Easter, is we're calling it Move Now. And in Move Now, we're not going to talk about the theory of moving. We're not a sitting church. We're a serving church. And we're not going to talk just about the theory of that. We're going to present you some concrete ways that we can allow the power of God to work through us, that we can touch lives that are right in our sphere of influence. And I want to encourage you, I want to challenge you to come back through this series and learn how we can truly make a difference, relying on the power of God to work through us, to touch lives, because that's what it's all about. You just saw some people get up and you thought, why are these people leaving? Are they mad? Those are our communion servers and they're getting ready to prepare communion for us. If you're new here, we practice communion every week. We love communion. We do it because Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. The last night before he was arrested, he instituted communion. And he said, not only do this in remembrance of me, but he said, really what you're remembering is my death. In just a moment, you'll receive a communion tray. And on it will be a piece of bread and a cup of juice. Those are symbols of Jesus' death. The bread represents his broken body that was nailed to the cross. The cup of juice represents his blood that was shed for the forgiveness of our sins. And so as the communion servers in a moment pass the tray, you take the cup and the bread, pass the tray to the next person, and then hold those symbols and reflect on Jesus' sacrifice. Communion is open to anybody who's a follower of Jesus. You don't have to be a member of our church. If you have wanted and made the decision to follow Jesus, we invite you to participate. But there's a question we haven't asked or answered. We've talked about the resurrection, that Jesus rose from the dead, but why did Jesus have to die? Why did he die? Let me illustrate it with an illustration of a gal that I'm very fond of. A number of years ago, I got interested in a woman named Jolene. And so I called her and I said, can I come visit you? She lived in a different state. And she agreed, so I went and we had our first date. And that went pretty well, so she allowed me to continue to come visit. Man, I put a lot of miles on my car going to visit her. And then one day I got the courage to ask her to marry me. And she said, yes. I won her over. And she hasn't regretted it too much since. We've been together 31 years. It's working. Yeah. So you could say it's a happy ending or a happy continuing. But here's the deal. I couldn't have sent somebody else to tell her that Glenn loves her. That's what elementary kids do. You know, they'll send their friend to tell their, you know, girl that, hey, tell him that I like her, you know, and that doesn't work. And it would not have worked if I would have sent somebody else to say, Glenn wants to marry you. If she had any kind of a brain, what she does, she'd say, no way, tell him to come. You see, that's the way it is with love. Love requires that we have to go. We can't send somebody else. We have to go ourselves if we want to communicate genuine, authentic, sincere love. And that's why Jesus had to die. You see, God deeply loves us. He is head over heels about us. He's passionate about each and every one of us. But he couldn't send a messenger to tell us that. God took the form of a human being, Jesus Christ. God himself came to us to show us how much he loved us. Not just with words, but when we hold communion in our hands, we're remembering that he showed us that he would sacrifice everything to win us over. Expressing his love in the most perfect way. And that's why we celebrate communion. We celebrate the love of God. After that, we're going to take our offering. If you're visiting with us and you're here as guests, thanks for being here. Don't feel any pressure or obligation to give. We don't guilt people into giving here. But here's why we give. Because of the power of the resurrection. When the living God has come into our life, he's changed the way we view our lives. We no longer live for ourselves. He's changed the way we view our money. We no longer see it as our money to serve us. We see our whole life, including our money, as an opportunity to serve others. And when you give, you join with thousands of others who together are making a difference in our own community and all over the world. And that's why we give. We're motivated by love and purpose because of Jesus. After our offering, we'll have some more time to worship before we go and remembering the power of the resurrection. Let's pray together. Father God, we cannot express to you with adequate words how grateful we are that you have loved us and never quit loving us in spite of who we are or what we've done. You continue to be present with us. You continue to offer us a power that's greater than our own ability. You've promised us life that will never end. And we are so grateful. And so in these moments, we again renew our desire to know Jesus and to experience the power of the resurrection. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.